This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift and beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation with Hart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Pindertal, Prince Masters, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
I don't deserve them, but you keep on pouring out from heaven. You're patient with me when I stumble and I'm learning lessons. That's the thing that keeps me humble on the right direction. You're the strength that keeps my hopes up, keep my head up, keep my eyes up. I never have to question your love. I hold on to the promise until it comes, sooner or later. I guess I'm waiting for some better days, some better days. I know I'm gonna see some better days, some better days. Got caught about my pride, I think I missed the message. I swear I try my best, but it's so hard not living reckless. I pray for grace to be extensive, cause I'm such a menace. I guess I'm waiting for some better days instead of trenches. I'm trying to keep my hopes up, keep my head up, keep my eyes up. Some things are easier said than done. Every dark night, gonna see the sun, sooner or later. I guess I'm waiting for some better days.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, May 20th, Tuesday, 2025, live and in full effect. Grateful to be in your company, always happy to kind of jam with you and talk the way that we are for growth and development in this country with conviction, with determination, because I think all of us are looking for better days. Yeah, let's just talk about that and have a very clear conversation. I know a lot of persons are kind of sinking into that fold that says, Howard, ain't it getting better? It's better now, Howard, especially for Grand Bahamians. It's better. Y'all can't see nothing. You can't satisfy. Yeah. I know. I hear you. But I think all of us have a responsibility, and especially if we take on an occupation, to be able to stand in a nationalistic posture for growth and development for the entire country. And the things that the PLP espouses, that rising tides lift all boats. We're hoping that that happens in this particular instance. I know that you articulate it. I know that it bellows out of your bosom, out of your essence. But the application thereof, the fruit thereof, is far from the words that you say. And so we're hoping for some better days. Let's just talk like that and have a good conversation. Got to shout out my good decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They get everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. We are headed into the next month, right? Headed into June. And all those persons at that particular time, let's see if we can be able to find ourselves in a good position for growth and development. And if you want to be able to kind of get your car insured and get your things taken care of, remember we talked about the fact that you don't only have to. Your packages are not relegated to this sort of an idea where you only get your car insured. So ask for more information. Give them a call, 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. They can take good care of you in that kind of a space and make sure that you're comfortable in those areas and you're good with that, all right? I got to shout out my good, decent people over at Art Construction, the future of construction, art development, art construction, being able to do that, Morton Construction, being able to tell us all about those things, MST Bar. My guy Avery was in the house last week, brought his whole film crew. I thought he was on Love and Hip Hop. You need to stop, right? But he came up here and we had a good conversation. And he is really evangelizing this concept about conservation. And so if you're in that kind of a space and you're developing, you're building, you're doing your thing, and you're trying to be able to find yourself in a good position for growth and development, and you want sustainability, you want durability, you want this sort of a long-lasting concept for one of the greatest and one of the most expensive, the biggest projects some of us will ever pour into in our lives, and you want to be able to make sure that that's taken care of, give him a call, man. His numbers, you can be able to reach him over at 822-9527, 822-9527, or 603-4506, 603-4506. They can take good care of you in those particular areas, all right? Got to shout out my good guys over at Da Vinci Printing Innovators. We talked about them. We talked about the innovation. We talked about the concept. We talked about the ideas. We talked about the fact that you need to be able to think outside of the box. We talked about the fact that this innovation that they speak about, the access, the opportunities that they speak about, is rich and really good. So you're going to be able to check them out. They are located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza, right there at the intersection of Soldier Road, Village Road. You can be able to see them. And give them a call if you want to find out more information, 677-2922, 677-2922. They can take very good care of you in those areas, all right? Pick up a Guardian newspaper. All the information's in the paper. In the paper. This morning, you can be able to see exactly what's what. And we can be able to talk about these things. So it says, on the attack, Prime Minister doubles down on Pintard criticism. And I really don't think he should. I think, and I could say what I think, but I don't believe that he's going to listen, because this is sort of the generic knee-jerk reaction that politicians of his ilk has in this country. This is the proverbial attack mode. They don't attack you with this kind of an intellectual posture. They don't attack you with a vision that's being casted. They don't attack you, or they don't approach you and say, contrast this. What about this? We got plans, baby. We got conviction. We got commitment. We got a collective cohesion in our team. We have this. We have, you ever really had a job, sir? I don't know if you ever really worked before. Anybody ever get, no, I don't think that's right. You know, and then I watch him. And then I watch Pintard's response, and I think sometimes nothing is the best thing. No words is the best solution for certain nonsensical, asinine posture. And just, can I say that is okay? Yeah, no words is the best thing for a nonsensical, ridiculous approach to these particular things, and to spew that, this fodder into the political rhetoric right now is bananas. And this is by design. And you've fallen for it. You've fallen for a relentless conversation of a spiraling nothing. That's what this is. This is a spiraling rabbit hole into the abyss of absolute nothingness. That's what this is. This don't even make sense. You and I know that Michael Pintard couldn't climb to the position that he was in if he was incapable. He couldn't. He just couldn't. He couldn't. Fred Mitchell tell you out of his mouth, the only thing he ever wanted to do in his life was be a politician. And if we really, really think about it, as we know that Fred Mitchell, in his capacity, is a lawyer, we've only seen his agitation, his activism, his relentless push, his articulation, his posture, his stance from a political standpoint. And if no one else celebrates him and his commitment, I'm talking about from a professional standpoint, if no one celebrates him and his commitment and his steadfast nature and his posture and his poise and his grace and his development into the statesman-like posture and position. I'm talking about Fred Mitchell. I will, and I do. I don't get in people's personal life. I don't know nothing about his personal life. I'm saying to you, I've watched the man in his professional posture as a politician in and out of office, and he has grown and matured, and he's been poised in his position. And I don't know him to do nothing else in his life other than politics. But we don't, we discredit that. We discredit that. I don't know nothing about Perry Christie, Perry Gladstone Christie, nothing other than his politics. I have absolutely no idea of nothing that he's done. If it was done, it was done before my birth. I am 43 going on 44 years old. And the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Perry Christie, had served for at least 40 some years. Up until, I think, a few years ago. So he would have been serving before I even was born. And I know absolutely nothing else other than his relentless commitment to politics. And more specifically, to the PLP. I know nothing else. Do not diminish a man's creativity, especially simultaneously when you seek to be able to raise an entire industry. When we are looking from a global standpoint for an opportunity to be able to tap into diversity, to tap into an opportunity to be able to fortify, at least, if only, fortify a touristic industry that is lagging behind regionally and globally. That we're having numbers come to our country and they're projecting numbers and we're unable to even accommodate them. We're unable to entertain them. We're unable to even keep them safe from a statistical standpoint. But our prime minister is sitting into a position and being able to denigrate an opportunity where creatives live. I don't understand. I wouldn't say anything to that. Anything. Because I hold the prime minister in high regard. High regard. But to take on this lowly posture of a lowbrow, low vibration conversation and seek to throw that into the fray of the political nothingness that exists in this space, there could be no expectation that we get higher or better than what they're giving us right now. This is garbage. This won't be decent as I say that. A viral video appears to show the immigration officer beating and choking a man. I started to watch it. I didn't watch the entire thing. I think I fell asleep. It had to have been late 1 o'clock in the morning that I saw the thing, right? FNM considering candidates from Kalani, considering candidates for Kalani. Your consideration should have been done at this particular point. The PLP preparing to launch campaign on Labor Day. Let's read a little taste of this. We talked about this. They said that they're going to test the strength of their organization on June 6th. Be a little bit. So the Progressive Liberal Party Deputy Chairman Obi Roberts told party members to prepare for political war. Prepare for political war, which will begin on Labor Day parade. And it says that the party 2026 re-election campaign on Labor Day, June 6th, we plan to march in mass numbers as crabs to demonstrate our might, our force, and our commitment as PLP and the government of the Bahamas. This is what Roby said during the party's, you know, as I read this, right? And I haven't seen Obi for a while. I hope that he's well. Obi, I hope you're well, right? Anyway, let's read. Let's just keep going on. So it says PLPs are looking forward to coming out in great numbers. We want to see less. We want to see no less than 5, 6, 7, 8,000 of us. When we get to the top of East Street Hill, we want to see numbers go all the way back to Wolf Road. Deputy Chairman for the PLP's Labor Day Parade Committee, Bradley Kemp, told the crowd that the party expects every PLP to be on the parade. Mama them can't make that. I mean, they could show out and sit on the side, but, you know, praise God. They're there in some capacity. So we're accepting one excuse and one excuse only. That you're dead. You'll accept the excuse. That means that their ghost got to show up and say, well, you know, I didn't mean to pass away, but I passed away. And I don't think I can make it. And then you got to register that. John Doe ghost came and said he won't make it. He just died. Praise God. So that's PLPs, man. This country is getting ready. June 6th. I told you that. We talked about this. Listen, don't let the PLP hit you with the rhythm of nothing elseness. Don't let these people and politicians try to be able to convince you that we're not in the thick of an election cycle. Don't let them do it. They pushed down this property on the side by Coconut Grove. They put Michael Alkita's picture on the side that. They put a couple blocks there. They put some fill there. They're getting ready to jam. Now, that could take 6 years or so. But nonetheless, in your mind, you got to be able to see something moving. This is where we are. So I don't want nobody tell me nothing that we're not in a political season. And so, September, let's count. Let's count. You got June 6th, July 6th, August 6th, September 6th. That's 90 days. And you got 90 days before you call a general election. Let's talk about these things. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here sitting with my good friend Garth Roseborough. Garth is in the studio with us today, being able to talk about these things. Garth, say good afternoon to the people out there.
Well, Howard Grant, good afternoon to all abroad and here at home in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It is indeed extremely hot, and I'm just encouraging people everywhere in the Southern Hemisphere to drink a lot of fluid, drink a lot of water, ease up on that rum and that beer, but get some water.
So you start off with telling people to drink fluids, and now you can tell them to drink.
I said, do not. Drink water.
Tell you rum and the water and rum.
No. I want them to ease up on that a little bit and drink some of that water because you know what? There is something called a heat stroke. And for those of you who are laboring in the sun, I have to give a shout out to my friend in Sunset Park. I got to come to your house right now. I ducked yesterday because, man, the sun was so hot. And for me to put on a bee suit in that heat, my God, I'm fearful for my own life. But I am going there today after the show, Howard Grant. And for those, once again, doing construction work, those doing landscaping, and those people who are doing work on the outside at the resorts, please drink a lot of fluid. It's very, very important. But it's good to be here with you again, Howard Grant. I see the newspaper is full and running over. And I listened to the show yesterday. I tried to call in, but it was at the end of the show. And I wanted to give you the respect to close the show. But I'm glad that you've honored me to sit here with you today.
Absolutely, man. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you pick up the Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. You can be able to see that Grand Bahama News, the supplement that's in the paper that talks about optimism is high for Grand Bahama's future. And it says that the Grand Ducayan deal signing sparks excitement in Grand Bahama. I just want to be honest as I say this, man. I love you all so bad. I do. And I know you all feel, because I'm watching people come on their social media and all over the place talking about these things, but I don't know whether or not you're going to extract your emotion where truth existed. I don't know you're seeking to exchange your emotional input, your expectation, your jubilant optimism and shift it out and switch it out for where truth only resides. The truth is a pillar. It's steadfast. It is the North Star. It is the guiding star for us to be able to go by, to make a determination as to whether or not these things would happen. You could be optimistic about a great deal of things. But truth is steadfast. Now, you could be able to make modifications for growth and development, especially in a situation like this. But what we've seen from culture and politics in this country is that they often travel the road of familiarity, of what they've done before, of what has been done before. There aren't many voyagers, political voyagers, and explorers in this country. They only do what they've seen done before. Talk to me, Garth. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. Mm-hmm. And so this I come on the show and I told you this happened with Driftwood. This happened with Ginn. This happened with South Ocean. This happened with so many entities. It almost happened with Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Can I shoot straight with you?
Mm-hmm.
It almost happened with Bahama. The government had to turn their back on the initial investor to ensure that this place didn't end up like so many other places around the world that China Construction America leave like a ghost town. Can I get an amen, Jesus? Can I talk? Can we talk like honest to God truth? Mm-hmm. Huh? The government of the Bahamas, and Perry Christie would say this to you. Listen, China Construction America will build a city up to the brim and leave it just like that. Around the world. Mm-hmm. And leave it just like that. And you'll be like, oh, but what happened? They leave it like that. And if the government chose at that time to be able to side with the initial investor, we could have lost everything. So I can't blame Perry Christie for what he's done, for the preservation of these particular things. But I am saying to you, this is not unfamiliar territory. We've been here before. We travel these waters.
Well, Howard, we got so much to talk about today. I mean, like I said, the paper's full and over. I'm surprised, though. I know you're starting to show off with something that is actually like right at the precipice of discussion in terms of the upcoming election. You missed something that is always close to your heart on the front page of that paper. And you didn't even attempt to dive into that. I thought we'd open the show with that and then get into the politics of things.
What you mean, amid declining birth
rates? Why this fella so sharp?
Amid declining birth rates.
I thought you would have started there.
Women embrace child-free life?
Yeah. I thought you would have jumped in that because the woman says she's comfortable. This is Ms. Caitlin Davis. And, you know, the truth be told is that these women are now comfortable not having children. However, there are those who are migrating to our country who are extremely comfortable having as many children as they possibly could.
And they don't care who you is, married or otherwise.
They mix them with behemoths, they mix them with their own, they mix in, they stay in here, and they're absorbing our very society. And so we're being now overran in terms of our own numbers and population by people who lovingly want to be pregnant. Whereas our women, our behemoth women, are saying, you know what, I don't need that.
Well, let's talk about it, guys. When we get back, the lines will be wide open. You can be able to jam with me and have a good conversation. Quick commercial break, guys. Going to be right back after this.
Wendy's Mall and Marathon is offering you a deal that you don't want to miss. For a limited time, you can purchase a Dave single, a classic or spicy chicken sandwich for just $5. That's right, you can enjoy Wendy's fresh, famous food without breaking the bank. Remember, this offer is only available at the Mall at Marathon location only. So stop by and grab the Dave's deal today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. Hit me up, 323-622-3232, 325-4316, 325-4215, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up, 422-4796. There's a lot going on. It's probably a conversation I don't want to talk about.
You don't talk about that?
It's an exhausting conversation. I think it's designed so we could be able to be distracted again. I don't want to be distracted.
Well, the thing about what I was trying to hint to you, not that we must discuss this in full today, but if our people in the Bahamas are looking at the expense of child rearing, the burden of bringing forth the next generation, what does that...
Child rearing is not expensive.
I wouldn't know.
But I'm telling you.
I would. Apparently, in this article, it's exhausting to this person in terms of their conception. So my whole thing is this.
That's because they had known it what it was designed to do.
You don't know how, Howard. No,
I'm telling you,
people are not taught anymore how. This is what I'm trying to say to you.
Nobody taught you how to have sex.
No, you ain't got to teach me that. I'm a natural. I'm a natural.
Wait. We're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere.
You're trying to swing me, but you ain't going to swing me today.
We're getting somewhere.
You ain't going to swing me today.
We're getting somewhere.
Okay, go ahead. Let me hear this.
You naturally got these things in you to take care of your children.
You think so?
I ain't asking you. I'm telling you.
Okay, you got breast milk.
As a man?
But no, I ain't talking to the woman now, but you got to be able...
No.
So what natural are you talking about?
There are elements. Remember we talked
like
about
what?
The tangibles and the intangibles. The tangibles is for the father to provide.
They ain't got no father. Single mother home.
No. They got a father.
Single parent home. That's all right. Single parent home is the talk of the day. A lot of single mothers in the country. Now, tell me about the natural situation again. Let me hear this.
Well, I need to tell you.
Convince me.
The design. Little children ain't supposed to be in the house with no daddy.
Yeah, but you living in a good situation. I'm talking about the majority of people in this country.
The only reason I live in this situation is because I come up with the example of understanding that a father is.
These people ain't got that.
Well, they could fix that.
How?
Before you sleep with the man?
But you got to sleep because it's natural to sleep.
No, sir.
Listen to me, whole boy.
When I was
11 years old,
a married man,
I wasn't thinking about no,
for me to go
I
wasn't, for another woman.
At 11, I wasn't thinking about no marriage. I ain't thinking about no bill.
I ain't talking about 11. I'm talking about a man who have a very clear understanding of responsibility.
It ain't clear.
And it's clear.
It's not clear. It's clear to you.
You need money to get food to
they
eat,
ain't thinking about that.
To survive.
The wind blowing, I need some. That's all they thinking about. No, stop it, Howard. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
You can't put that in
stop
their
it.
Head.
What you mean?
You can't put that in their head.
What you mean? You cannot.
You can't speak for
them. It is okay, let the people call it and tell you then. I guarantee you. That's the way it works.
You're trying to
so why we got so many children who don't have no daddy then?
It says a 42-year-old divorcee is and has no regrets about her decision.
She happy
not to become a
yes.
mother.
She's happy.
She don't have no choice.
She got a choice.
How the hell she can have a choice? She says she have no regrets.
All she got to do.
She got a choice.
All she got to
you
do.
You got to live where you is.
All she got to do is go to church and the niggas in church waiting on her. They waiting. The fellas in church waiting. The fellas at the bar waiting. The fellas underneath the juju tree waiting. Everybody waiting to put something there.
None of them looking to keep nothing there. They ain't looking to put nothing there.
It ain't about keeping. It's about producing the child.
No.
You talking about the next generation.
Ain't nobody looking to plant.
Oh, Lord. You tell me you want to plant no seed?
You know, I ask myself this question, and I don't want to deviate from our conversation.
No, right? But I'm looking at the politics, and I'm saying to you, these politicians saying they can provide a brighter tomorrow, but I'm saying to you, Howard Grant, and I know you're smart, how could we provide a brighter tomorrow when the doggone women of this country ain't want no children? So who are we providing tomorrow for? That's the point I'm trying to bring home to you.
The women of this country don't need to have children if they don't want it. That's their
we have no children, and we got no future.
No. We can have children now.
Yes, when? How?
The Venezuelan women who come in here ain't got no place.
They're behemoth. But they're behemoth.
They are women.
Yeah.
With reproductive organs.
Okay. Make
that's,
it plain.
That's what we seek out.
Okay. We the behemoth men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There are many people who are coming to this country for refuge. There are Puerto Ricans. Not Puerto Ricans. There are Mexicans, sorry. Dominicans. There are Haitians. There are Jamaicans.
And the average human man don't care where you come from. They just want to know you got what they need.
Yeah, what I'm saying to you is that if you made a decision that you don't want something, then and I seek to have that, I could find it elsewhere. And so no one could fight a woman to make them to do what they
want. But that's not behemian.
No, but I'm just saying. I mean, don't fight me. I as a married man. As a married man with children.
And you made how much?
4 children so far.
And you ain't stop yet, eh?
Well, I keep.
I want your wife here,
I keep practicing. I keep practicing, and hopefully, I can perfect.
Oh, Jesus! It's bad, like I children,
could,
boy.
I could, you know, perfect.
You trying to make it for the ones that I ain't make yet?
I could perfect the rhythm method. Let me perfect the rhythm method, and then we see if it works.
You want another boy or girl?
No. I give God praise for where I am, right? But I'm simply saying to you is that you have to have conviction, you have to have determination, and you have to have an alignment to a purpose. I just asked a question, you know, in the room the other day, just now, actually, before I came in here getting my drink. I said, I wonder what happens on a journey for a woman,
mm-hmm.
after she's divorced. I wonder what happens. Divorce must be an excruciating thing, not necessarily only for the man, but excruciating for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? This is the thought in my head.
In your head.
The thought in my head that says that we come together, we love each other, because that's how it starts. We love mm-hmm. each other. We put our resources together. We set a map, a plan mm-hmm. for the future.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this together. We can have children together. We can build together. We can grow together. We can do all these
things. I hear you.
And in the midst of this, mm-hmm. we decide to separate,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, as men, we're not unfamiliar with separation. We just build again,
mm-hmm.
right? But as women, there's an unfulfilled void that exists in this place. And because she seeks to get to the end of this, right? And this is only me.
What's this void you think that exists?
No, because there was a promise made that the man made.
And his promises that the woman made?
Not really. I don't.
Who?
My wife ain't make me no
Let
promise.
Me tell you why men get married, Howard.
My wife ain't make me no promise.
Men basically get married to lock in the treasure that their woman is. They want that for themselves. They want that temple for themselves. It ain't got nothing else to do with nothing else. It ain't about no building, no partnership like the Bible speaks about. You look at a woman, she's fine as hell. Everybody likes her. They admire her. Oh, she got it going on.
That's not why I got
she
married.
She got... You different. I keep telling you, you different. You don't listen to me.
That's not how I get married. I mean, that's a.
You all keep trying to put yourself in the lower echelon of thought.
Then everyone who we had intercourse with, then we would want to get married to them. That's
no,
not
we ain't
married.
Going in there for that.
That's what I'm saying.
But if
no
it was sweet,
no matter how fine a woman is.
But if it's sweet, we got to lock that in.
It could be diabetes. It doesn't matter. No one getting married for that.
What do you get married for?
There has to be a. Okay, let me tell you. I'll tell you where I get married before. I got married because I saw an essence in this woman.
You're different.
That I wanted in my children.
I agree with you, but you're different.
I saw a love in this woman.
Oh, Lord.
A nurturing in her. Before I touch her, before I put my lips on the woman.
Did her beauty have anything to do with it?
She was absolutely gorgeous.
Okay, so if she was ugly, you take it full with her like that?
I couldn't have a conversation with her.
You got to, man. You got to have a fair conversation with God. That's God you're talking to.
Yeah, but I can't have a conversation with an ugly woman too long, sir.
But this is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to say to you there was something that attracted you to her that you wanted to lock her in. The average guy don't want to lock nobody in. He just wants...
But I'm saying it wasn't superficial.
For you.
It had essence. It had substance. It had longevity.
Yes.
It meant something beyond interaction. It meant I wanted to see myself in the woman again in terms of my children.
You're right. And you was willing to be a goon to make that happen.
323-623-6356-425-4259. Telephone line, caller line. This man talking garbage. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, good afternoon.
Anton! People tell me they miss you, boy. What's happening with you?
Tommy.
I radio holding on to the grace of God.
You in the city?
Yeah, I'm back.
Praise God, Anton, you're back. Praise God. What's happening with you?
Back in the country. You know, it was a long trip, and it was a very productive trip, I must add. Very, very productive.
Praise God.
A very successful trip. A lot of knowledge was gained, and a lot of knowledge was also given in the process. And, you know, there's some great things to discuss as time unfolds moving forward with regards to just some of the knowledge that was exchanged on the on the trip. Howard.
That's excellent.
Good,
man. Good to know.
As well.
That's good to know, Anton. And good to know that you're back safe.
Yes, back in our time zone, especially Howard and God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I say anything, let me permit me, please, just quickly to offer my sincerest condolences to the family of the late Kirk.
Yes.
On his unexpected passing. Yes. And let me add that an era has certainly come to an end with his passing. He would have carried with him to the grave in his unexpected passing a great deal of knowledge, a great deal of insight, a great deal of know-how. And he will certainly be missed. He was one who believed in speaking his mind. He was one who could stand in the fire and still hold the faith. And he was one who didn't kowtow to no man. I respected those values about him highly. And I will certainly miss him personally. Mm-hmm. He was a good family friend. And he was certainly a very good friend to my late father. God rest my father's soul as well. And so may they both rejoice up there in heaven. May God strengthen the families left behind to bereave. Mistress Moncur and former Senator Moncur's kids, right? God rest his soul. May he rest in peace and rise in glory. Now, Howard, can you hear me clearly, Howard?
Yeah, man, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Look, man, you know, one of the things that I gathered over the weeks that I was in Shanghai, China, on a course, a training course with the business school down there, a lot of what I proffer on your show, Howard, on Chavago's show, and on other shows, Dwight's show, Aaron Cecil's show, and even on Naughty's show, when the opportunity presents itself, right, however little that may be. On other shows that are not affiliated with the network, they are practicing, they are putting in play, they are actioning out in China. And, you know, Howard and Garth and the nation, the spectacular accomplishments that they have achieved, they are not far from achieving in the Bahamas. If we have the right mindset, if we are moving with the right vision, if we are all on one accord, and if the leader in particular takes the bull by the horn.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because that's the pleasantries that you offer and sort of the opening remarks. Mm-hmm. Now, you have been in a position of observation for the past few weeks. You've identified these things. You have, I think when we left off, we were at a position where the PLP said it was an administrative error for $183 million project for West Grand Bahama. We pushed back against that. We saw some things modified. The PLP shoved a couple gold shovels in the ground over the course of that particular time. And now $827 million investment for Grand Bahama specifically. And information is trickling out of the office of the Prime Minister indicating that there is $120 million that we sold this particular property for. They didn't indicate when they would get it, how they can get it, how this particular thing would be paid, which is a shortfall of about $30 million based upon the subvention that the government was paying $1 million a month for after they paid 60-some million dollars to be able to retain the property. Where do you see it now? Talk to me now, because I got to go to a break at 1 o'clock. Talk quick. Go ahead.
Okay. Howard, first and foremost, we should not come to the public as a government, right? And see, this is a part of the problem that we have in the country, within the PLP, and also apparently within the FNM. We like bootlickers in the party system. I ain't in our vernacular. I ain't no bootlicker. I will never be a bootlicker. I'm a respecter of human beings. Mm-hmm. I'm a respecter of protocol. Mm-hmm. I'm a respecter of leadership. Mm-hmm. But that respect is reciprocal. It's not just one way. Howard, we have too many yes-sir men and women. Until their foot and their hands are nailed to the cross themselves, then they cry out. The very same cry that they try to prevent other people from doing. Howard, we should not have come to the Bahamian people with the announcement of that deal until we had our acts fully together. You hear me, Howard? Mm-hmm. You hear me, God?
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Fully together. In other words, what I'm saying is, look, we owe it. We owe it to the Bahamian people to demonstrate, to not only talk the talk, but to demonstrate in action the respect of providing the intel that the Bahamian people need in order to understand just how beneficial what the government has accomplished on their behalf is in a real way to them. vehemence and not have to fight for that information. In addition to that, it splits the focus from being positive and turns the focus possibly to being negative, when this should be something that the entire nation should be celebrating. But because of how it's being presented and managed or mismanaged, it's not having the impact that it's intended to have.
Antoine, I'll say this to you. I had a conversation, well, we spoke about it over the past 2 days or so, last week, Friday and today and yesterday. And I've indicated that I walk in with cautious optimism. So I'm grateful for the opportunity, but I will never forget. You know, some people are saying, you forgive, but you never forget, right? I forgive. Right. I forgive the PLP for the commitment that they've made for Gin Sumar in West Grand Bahama, but I will never forget about the pain of being able to smell the sod, the soil in the air, to believe that this was a potential for something to happen, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Right. I will never forget that. I will never forget the projects that they've continued to be able to push the trees down for. The fauna and everything to be able to find a space to just shovel something in the ground, one of those gold shovels in the ground, and just to say that this is the potential for something, and absolutely nothing happens.
Howard.
I can't forget that guy. Antoine?
Howard.
Go ahead.
Permit me, before you go to the break, to say this, please. Right? And if time permits, and if you allow, at some point on the next side, perhaps I could call back to say what I really want to say. Howard, listen to me, man. PM Davis, you know I love you, sir. All right? When I was there with you, half of these people who call in PLP names, 90% of them wasn't around.
Michael.
90% of them wasn't bailing no water or the boat. 90% of them wasn't patching a hole in the boat. 99% of them wasn't lifting no weight. 99% of them didn't want to be associated with the PLP, nor with your leadership, not until they saw victory on the horizon. Sir, you've got to make the change that you continue to talk about. You've got to action this change you continue to talk about, sir. We need, we have the hearts, we have the minds, we know how to. We need to begin to execute. We need a different way of doing things, PM. And you have it within your heart to do.
Well, you got to get it on his heart.
People, huh?
You got to get it on his heart and put it on the table. Because no man knoweth the heart except Jesus. He need to put it on the table. All right, we take a commercial break, guys, and get right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
The foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. God's still in here trying to talk me up. He want me talking this thing so bad. I telling him some stories from my grandmother.
You keep a secret from the people. Right?
No, but this is everything in to tell secrets. These people. Everything in to tell them.
I tell you
what I learned from my grandmother.
And you ain't want to talk too much of the information.
I tell you, no, I got to be honest with you. I think society and education has said to us there is contentment in the fact that you could be able to acquire for yourself, but there is no fulfillment. My God, I just get preachy. I got to calm down. There is contentment in your mind and saying that you are able to acquire these things. But when it gets to that lonely part of your life, there is no fulfillment. You don't have nothing to look back on. You ain't got nobody to call you. So listen, and she probably listening right now. When I first moved to Nassau, this young lady, right, at Malia Hotel, we got very cool, just talking and just casually talking and whatnot. I would always go down to her outlet, right, coffee, to get my coffee and so forth and so on. And she would talk. She was just talking with me. I say, you have any churn? What I can do with any churn? You crazy? I'm a young lady, you know. I look at her and I say, she looked like she could have at least 7 churn.
She looked that way.
Yeah, she full, her cheeks full. She her skin looked good. She looked like she could have a bunch of churn. Right? What I can do with any churn? And then she started to tell me a story about, and I know she listening, right? And she started to tell me a story about when she grew up, right? How it was a struggle, how she had some tribulations, how she had to endure some stuff. And I think quietly within herself, she decided that maybe this isn't for me because she had already been a mother figure in her family for her brothers and her sisters. And I just asked her, I said, okay, one day you're going to lose this youth. One day you're probably going to have to use a belt to strap your tetas around your ankles, right? You're going to have to, right? Just joking with her. I said, one day this will all come to an end. That's just how life works. And no matter the accomplishments that you would have made from a business standpoint, no matter the accomplishments that you would have made from an occupational standpoint, no matter the buildings that you would have built, no matter none of these things, nobody holding your hand and say, Mommy, thank you for the opportunity. Mommy, I love you. Mommy, I appreciate you. Mommy, no one, as you transition off into another space, never to be seen again here, there isn't recognition that you were even here. This is what I said to her. I said, maybe you should consider that. She wasn't married at the time. I promise you, within 3 years, she had 2 children and she was married. And I said, you know what? Every time I see her, she's come hug me up and heal me good, give me a little kiss. I said, you better thank God for me. And you better go and tell your husband, thank God for me. Amen? Because I got to encourage you that this is what you're for, baby. It's casual conversation. Because there is, listen to me. When I hear women speak with this sort of this absolute posture, this kind of a, I'm content with this, something happened. Because that's just not the makeup of a woman that not that we know.
So you took the time to trace your family's lineage?
Yeah.
So you know your great-great-grandmother?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
But I keep telling you, you're not normal.
I used to live with them. All of us used to live in one yard.
I said your great-great-grandmother.
All of us used to live in one yard. They only passed away before, listen to me. And the legacy of how my family, okay, I come from a tight-knit family. Now, they may be at each other's throats all the time, but nonetheless, we're close enough to get to your throat. It ain't that no distance between us. Only now, as so many of us, on my Grammy side, on my grand-aunt side, so many of us had to leave Grand Bahama to work. Only now, we're not as tight as we used to be in 8 Mile Rock because nobody home. You understand? Nobody home. Everybody off trying to take care of themselves and their families. But we come from this very tight-knit family. We know our uncle live over there. Our grand-uncle live over there. Our cousins. This is family.
Well, I can agree with you today, Howard, that you know what? That's a conversation into itself, and I ain't going to fight you today.
I know you don't want me to talk like this because
I ain't going to fight you today.
When my convictions start spilling on this radio, people can be offended.
My
beliefs and my convictions and my experiences start spilling on this radio, people are going to be offended. I can't believe Howard thinks like this. But this, I only go by biblical principles. You know, I can tell you this quick story. My grandmother said that they used to call you a barren whore when you couldn't have children.
Because you're doing the thing and then you ain't making no children with it.
So my grandmother said that women, you get the stain amongst the women. They said they used to call you a barren whore.
And if only the women, though.
you don't need to be a Baron Hall. They never, men never get this application.
Okay.
Okay? A woman was a Baron, she says.
I'm sure you don't call me now.
And then she says to me, she goes further, and she said, if you had children of wedlock, your children were identified as bastards.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, in today's time, you know, they don't even use that kind of terminology. You just come from a single parent home.
That was a cruel name. Very cruel.
But the same single parent home, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you were a bastard.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now that bastard is...
Yeah, but still a hard word.
It might be hard, but you can't make modifications to the fact that it's been identified.
Yeah, but you need to be kinder than that.
I didn't make these words up. I don't own no Mediterranean Bible. I mean, Webster. My name is Grant. I didn't read one of these words.
Yeah, but they need to eliminate that word.
No, you can't eliminate words because of your emotion. It's what it is.
But they're no bastard. They're blessings of God.
No, that ain't what it say. That ain't what it say.
But then King James wrote that, and he's a bastard.
He could be one.
Yeah, he is a bastard.
He could be one.
And Webster's a bastard if he put it in his book. They're all bastards.
I'm trying to tell you something, sir. I'm saying to you that my grandmother identified these things, and she told me these things from years ago.
Mm.
Because of the relationship that I had with my family, I knew that I wanted to be connected. Because I saw imperfections as a child. When I get cut hip for nothing, I honest to God, when I get my babies, I ain't never this me. I was already on a path, subconsciously charging the atmosphere with an idea that I am going to be married. My brothers, the same thing. My cousins, the same thing. Every one of us married.
You act like an only child, you know.
No, no, I got brothers. As the oldest child.
I know, but you strong, bad.
You're as like, the oldest
like,
child.
Like they put all the blessings in you.
No. They put all the cut hip in me. Praise God. I get that good. You understand? And so I always try to move away from having these kind of a social dialogue about the possibility because I only speak what I believe. And I believe hard based upon what I was taught, based upon what I ingested over the years, based upon what I experienced. And so if I say something contrary that may be able to offend someone, it's not my intention to offend anybody. But these are the things that I've experienced and that I've learned. At the end of the day, it's important that all of us have something that we can look back
on. So our economic situations are not the culprit for these women.
You see, and you know what's going to be a hard thing?
Listening.
You know what's going to be a hard thing? Here goes my Howard's conviction again. It's going to be a hard thing. Hmm. Every one of my children, every single one of my children, I take them quietly in prayer. My wife don't even know I do this. I take them, I hold them, and I say, well, Jesus Christ, this one is yours, eh? You didn't give me another one. I give you praise, dear Father, that you gave me this next one, but you got to take care of this one because I don't know where I can get the money from for this one, Jesus, but I can need you to give me the money to take care of these children. All my children going to government primary school and private high school. My daughter is graduating next month. Private high school.
And you want more
children. And my son going to college, and my daughter is going off to college, and I pray to God they get a scholarship. But if they don't get a scholarship, we still can pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Got to come.
But you're different.
No, I can be different. I right here with you.
Yeah, but you're different than most people.
But I right here with you. The same air you breathing, I right here with you. And so we got to believe. That's all it is. And if it don't happen, it ain't on me. Because I put my belief out there, I put my conviction out there, and I put my first step out there.
Well, then, okay, and I can't win that fight today, folks. I can't win that fight. So let me ask you this question.
And I
listened to Antoine before you go to the lines, right? Because I see the lines are lit up. Antoine made mention that if he were the PLP, he would not have had that signing until they had reached the mark that would be appreciated by all Bahamians. What say ye? Or do you want to go to the lines first?
Anton says he what?
He said that if it were him, he would not have done it that way.
The PLP has a responsibility to be able to provide any information, whether holistic or incremental, to the Bahamian people to wipe that foggy mirror, that foggy window, and hopefully the Bahamian people see the hope that they wish to espouse.
Mm.
But I look into the same mirror that you just kind of wipe down, and I am pessimistic. I am, well, let's know that I'm cautiously optimistic, because we've looked through these mirrors before with the FNM. Mm-hmm. We looked through these mirrors before with the former administration of the PLP. We looked at these mirrors before, and at least with Papa, you know, come hell or high water, he told you right off the top with the reconstruction of the roads and all these particular things that don't worry, it's going to be a hard time that we're going through this right now. However, this is good for the country. This is good for the nation. That's what I remember with Hubert Ingraham trying to be able to explain to us, that this is not going to be the easiest decision, but it has to be. We have to rip the Band-Aid off. Mm. And being able to reconstruct all these things. He lost miserably. He lost as a result of that, the decision that he made. Mm-hmm. But every single one of us don't even remember a time when the traffic flowed back and forth, right? The traffic flowed north and south, east and west. We didn't remember that. And the only time that we could look back and say, how could we have ever been able to, in a congested city the way that we are, live with traffic going left and right, up and down, like this, without this innovation being able to be incorporated? But that's not happening with the PLP and the FNM. After Hubert Ingraham and the introduction of Perry Christie, the former Prime Minister Perry Christie wanted to be almost shoved down our throats that this is going to be a major, a wonderful, and he continues to do it right now, today. Mm-hmm. He continues to. Every time he speaks about Bahama, he speaks of it in such a high light, as though that this is a turning point in the Bahamian society when this was just another anchor project. Mm-hmm. This is merely another anchor project. This wasn't the introductory anchor project. This wasn't an Atlantis. This is just merely another anchor project. Hubert Ingraham, with the introduction of him, we would have been able to see a major anchor project in Grand Bahama, major anchor project in the city of Nassau, in New Providence, with Atlantis. We've saw major anchor projects. And so whether or not Perry Christie's former prime minister's desire was to be able to be on par with that, he was just out of season. Mm-hmm. He was out of season. We had already stepped beyond that. And these concepts and ideas of boutique hotels had already been introduced to the market. Mm-hmm. And this kind of this idea for seclusion, this idea for serenity unto itself, this idea of being able to do something with your family and not be bombarded by so many people had already crept into the market. Mm. And the former prime minister was still pushing down our throats. Is the way. Bahama is the way. Mm. Now, we celebrate Bahama for these particular things. We have a conversation about the fact that they've entered X amount of beds into our inventory, right? But it doesn't provide you no unique experience to say that I'm immersed in the Bahamian experience. I'm immersed in these particular things. So all we're doing is the same thing, even less than what Dubai is doing, mm-hmm. than what Jamaica is doing, than what Santo Domingo is doing, than what Haiti is doing.
I got you.
We're doing less. Because all we're doing is providing inventory for people to stay. But there needs to be a subsequent opportunity for entrepreneurs to be able to flourish in these areas.
That would be a good model.
That's how you do it.
That would be a good model. You know,
that's how you do this.
When I sat one time and I listened to the voice of C.B. Moss, who sits right there off of Meadow Street, his church is there. He had a wonderful model in terms of advancing our country as stakeholders. And I'm just wondering, people like C.B. Moss and others who have a vision for a better and greater Bahamas, why is it that we often just overlook these people? We continue to banter between the performance of a royal opposition leader saying that he's just an artisan, he doesn't have a real job. And then, of course, the royal opposition is saying that I just call him Philip. But I think all of these are just simple distractions from the business of the Bahamian people. As they continue to jest back and forward, I think it's just the Bahamian people that are losing at this time, as you've said over and over again. We have to hold these people's feet to the fire. We have to allow these people to do the job that we have actually voted for them to do. These antics are unwarranted. I think we need to have serious discussion at this particular time in terms of what we as a people are now desiring for our country. For the last 4 years, Howard Grant, I would dare to say that there's been nothing different, as you've said, for the best maintenance.
Difficult things. It's I know this is going to be a hard election cycle for people to deal with me, and I can get a lot of cussing during this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because, you know, win, lose, or draw, FNM or PLP, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a transparent conversation and remind you of the road bump, the bumps in the road, and the pitfalls, and the proverbial triathlon that we had to go through mm-hmm. to hope to get something.
Yeah.
Right? And it's going to be a hard thing, because politicians don't want to be reminded. Politicians are content with the fact that Bahamian people have short memory.
Yeah, let me forget.
Bahamian people have short memory. They ain't going to remember. They ain't going to remember. They're content. And they're actually hopeful that you will forget.
I ain't going to let them forget.
Listen to me. These guys jive me, talk a bunch of garbage to me about the potential of what could happen, say, Howard, come do this, do the next thing. Then I call them, then I miss, then they never answer. And I call them, they never answer. And I call them, they never answer. And so I call them, let's say I call them for 2 months, and then I just give up, right? I say, you know, I guess this guy is a bull skater, and I leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hail you like...
Hey, like...
Forgot?
They do
that you was a bull skater?
I'm a aristocrat and stuff.
Do you think I forgot about the commitments that you made that you fall short of? But I don't say nothing. I don't say nothing. God, I don't say nothing. I say, hey, man, what's up, man? And I shake your hand. Like, I never, ever had a conversation with you. Because that's the type of guy I am. Because my source don't come from you.
Would you listen to that type of person again?
Never again. Ever.
Mm.
You are a liar.
You're smiling, but you...
I smile with you, because if you play stupid, I can play stupid too. Hey, man, what's up, man? It's good to see you. For public theatrics, we could do that. But this is where politicians exist, and they hope that you have a short memory.
You know what I've learned? The minute they come out of parliament, they...
God, I don't talk to them bad. I don't cuss them. I don't say nothing. I smile with them. Hey, man, it's good to see you. Okay, man, I appreciate it. But I know within myself that this guy is not to be trusted.
Yeah. You only got to wait for them to come out of parliament, though. Once they come out, you got them. I tell you that for truth. You got
them. Come out of parliament, it doesn't make a difference if they come out or they stay in for the rest
of
their lives.
No, they think they're going to be there forever. So they run this game, and then the minute they get out, they say,
you can't place your anchor in these men, though. Let's take a telephone call.
Yeah.
Caller, go ahead.
Howard Grant.
Hey, what's up?
Boy, after 25 minutes, I won't complain. At least I got on. Listen to me. I want to go back as far as the bastard children. How old do you have to be not to be a bastard child no longer?
I don't know. That ain't nothing I make up. See, sometimes we have to remember something. We meet some things here. Now, if you seek to change that and you want to change some things, then you could advocate for the change.
I ask you that because I am not ashamed. I'm my mother's last child, mm-hmm. the last, and I'm 58.
Mm-hmm.
I've never in my life saw my mother with a man. Never. She never comes to me, this my fiance, this my, this, whatever. And at one point, my mother had 9 bastard children. And at one point, the 9 of us were working for the Bahamas government. I never remember my mother ever being to court.
I don't know whether
for
or
one
not,
of us.
I don't know whether or not bastard means non-productive. I don't know if bastard,
too,
I don't know if bastard means uneducated. Like
she was a mother.
You know how old I was, and God, I don't know if God could attest to this. You know how old I was. I was about 14, 15. Then I realized that we was poor. Because the fella I have on his jaw,
How you know you poor?
He had, no, because then I say, boy, we was poor, you know. Because I get all my Conways, he get on his Jordans, he have on tennis, I have on tennis. I ain't on no brand new. He have on his Jordans jeans, I have on my windswept jeans. He have, maybe have on his Tommy shirt, I get on my windswept shirt. I ain't know it.
Windswept.
Until I get, man, windswept was the thing you had on one time for most of the while.
One time?
You get
well,
up, you dress well, up.
Sir. If the place named House of Value, I don't know if it was carrying on. Go ahead.
House of Value. Go ahead. House of Value.
This like saying, yeah.
You know,
the flea market.
We used to go. I could go all these names. Alexandra, I know what. We used to go to GR Sweet and stuff.
My GR Sweet is big time, man.
Okay, that's why I tell you. That's why I got my clothes from. I don't know if Lorraine's still open. I saw GR Sweet and Lorraine's. There was my stores.
Into the name Brian Clothes.
Okay.
Then I say, boy, I was poor, you know.
You only know you was... So
jeans,
when,
jeans,
when
you
in your head,
jeans.
When did you know you was a bastard?
When he found out he was poor.
Come on. Let me ask him.
Hold on. Because I don't want you to think I'm joking.
No,
I,
but listen to this. In closing, like...
Answer the question. Closing. You might as well hang up if you ain't answer the question. When did you know or you realized, just like how you realized that these you were poor, when did you realize that you were, quote-unquote...
All my life, I met my daddy at the age of 25, a year, 8 months before I got married. And I only invited him to my wedding because I wanted him and my mommy to take a picture together so I could show my children whenever they came along. And he must have thought I wanted something from him. He never showed up to the wedding. That hurt me more than anything. I didn't want none from him.
But you sure your daddy was your daddy, though? You sure that?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to what I say to you.
Because he was married.
You said it was nine of y'all, right?
Nine.
Right?
Only me one had a daddy.
And y'all was all bastards, you saying?
All.
Okay, so all was bastards. They have this thing where your daddy and your daddy, but your daddy don't know you.
No, that was my daddy. That was my daddy.
You got DNA tests? I mean, how you sure?
Somebody who work in the casino at Bahama say, Julian, you have to see this boy. Say, this boy is your brother. I don't care what you say. This boy is your brother.
But I see people on TV all the time who look like the fella.
Took me to him. The person took me up by the Monkey Bar in Bahama. He went up there. And she brought him.
Okay.
And what's your mother say? Your mother say, yeah, that's him?
My daddy, son. I asked him what his daddy name. And the same name he called.
Your mother say that's your daddy?
Yeah.
Okay, praise God.
My daddy's jeans was strong. He ain't never wear corduroy. He always is a jeans. His jeans
were
strong.
He ain't wear nothing else either. He ain't wear corduroy or prophylactics.
Daddy was a Rolling Stone.
Go ahead.
Listen to me.
Go ahead, Julian. I get up. You go ahead.
My mother had seven children with her living together at one time. But the two older ones never really live with us. They live up on the island. Mother could have cooked a tin of corned beef, and his corned beef can't even get no bigger from then to now. They might have changed some brand name, but they can't the same size. My mother could have cooked a tin of corned beef. All of us eat corned beef with rice so that night. And we had enough corned beef to eat corned beef and grits for breakfast in the morning.
Wow.
With the potato and the carrots and the cabbage. And I was fooled, because like I said, I was the last. Once my white rice red, I straight. I only get in the grave. My mother took a corned beef soup.
Yeah, but see, I appreciate your telephone. Well, Julian, I appreciate your telephone call, and I got to be able to say this. I got into a break. I need y'all to understand what you see, and that's why I don't like to have these conversations, Garth. This is a sensitive topic, and a lot of persons are indifferent with these particular things. Because when you say these things, I'm not saying this because I created this or I believe that this is what it is. I'm saying this to say that this is the idea of what existed in our country. Our prime minister, Hubert Ingram, would tell you he is the child. He has these particular things that he doesn't know his father or whatever the case may be. And he would tell us these stories about growing up with his mother and all these things like that, growing up with his Grammy and all these things like that. It doesn't diminish, no matter how you got here, you're here for a reason. It doesn't diminish your value, your contribution, the purpose that you have in your life. You got here. The vehicle in which you got here is, it pales in comparison to the purpose that you have while you're here. And that's what it is. I think a lot of us, we get caught up in semantics. We get caught up in these kind of an emotional things. We get caught up in the deprivation or the lack that we perceive that we had. And take no consideration that these particular elements were designed strategically so you could be able to meet some people. Somebody texted me and said, what about Jesus Christ? What about Jesus Christ? He also hung out with a bunch of cussing whores and whatnot. He didn't come to save those people who thought they had everything together. He came to save those persons who were lost. That's what he did. And what better way to show you that I came to save the people that was lost than to be able to come through right off the top a tumultuous situation? Because you believe that Joseph believed that. Oh no, Joseph, the Holy Spirit get me pregnant. What?
Biblical says to say the same thing today.
The Holy Spirit get me poo, Holy Spirit. The angel had to show up to him to convince him. Because he was out.
Only because he believed the angel, though.
Okay, praise God. Let's take this quick commercial break, guys. Gonna be right back after this.
Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
Better say Lampkin. Besides carrying all the roofing material needed to cover East End, Enterprises also has all the equipment needed to put it together and protect your workers. At Enterprises, we got hand tools, power and manual, including hacksaws, hammers, mauls, wrecking bars, well, hopefully they won't need them yet, drill bits, tapes, plumb bobs, levels, and more. We got cement, concrete bonding fiber, lime, sand, and P-Rock. We got dust masks, safety glasses, gloves, hard hats, and high-visibility vests. Lampkin, what we got here at Enterprises is a one-stop shop for builders.
Fancy this, one-of-a-kind Pesto Club sandwiches from Burger King Nassau like you've never tasted before. Choose from a juicy chicken breast or a 100% flame-grilled beef patty topped with irresistible fresh pesto spread, cheese, crisp bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Or start your mornings right with the Pesto Chicken Croissantwich for breakfast. It's a delicious chicken patty topped with cheese, tomato, and fresh pesto spread on a classic buttery BK croissant. The Pesto Club sandwiches are new, fresh, and only at Burger King Nassau.
Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you and three others on a seven-day cruise to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part, no visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Four, or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Drawing is on July 4, 2025. Brought to you by the Nassau Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company. Very complex conversation today. I just wanted to kind of keep it in politics and not getting into the kind of a personal thing because I know that y'all going to rake and scrape me for some of the things that I believe. And I don't want to be able to come off as a misogynistic, you know, arrogant idiot. But there are some things that I believe. And I could always travel back to my convictions in the Word of God and say that this is why I believe these particular things. It may be hard to swallow because everyone's experience is not the same. Everyone's experience is not the same. I wish I could tell you the intimacy of how I was even birthed. And the stories that my mother told me during her time of birthing and how at a very young age she was unsure about whether or not she wanted a child, whether or not she was prepared for it. She married and this and that and all these things. She wrestled with this kind of an idea of people calling her child, her first child, being a bastard and all these. She wrestled with these things. Me and my mother talking about this stuff. And so she says, I don't know if I wanted you, but you were such a big baby. I couldn't do nothing with you. Even the doctors tell me I couldn't do nothing with you and so forth and so on, right? And so when you look at me and you see my size, you don't realize that this was my saving grace. That if I wasn't this size, I would have been gone. You,
You don't know that. You don't know none of our stories. You don't know people's stories. But I know one thing. I hear. I remember my uncle cussed me one time and say, that's why your mother and father don't like you. I say, they should have figured that out before I reach. My uncle cussed me. Very stupid and immature foolishness. These grown men is dealing, grappling with things. And then you always take your story back to Joseph, how jealous people around you simply because you got vision. But this existed. And it continues to exist in so many households in this country. My uncle cussed me and tell me my mother and father who gave my mother who breasts I fed off of for the longest time. While she was eating, she told me she liked Butterfingers and grapes. While she was doing these things, and I love my mother to death. Mm. He can say to me in the midst of an argument, that's why your mother and father don't like you. In the midst of an argument, because he didn't like what I say to him. Mm. I said, well, they should have thought about that before I reached. And that's only my point. My only point, I ain't going to tell you my family's business. I'm simply saying to you, my only point to you is that you should have thought about these things before I reach. I'm here. I am here. And I know that I'm here for a reason. Mm-hmm. That's it. And now a lot of persons have yielded that autonomy that they had and the purpose and the vision that they've been called to. They've rendered that to fraternities. They've rendered that to political organizations. They've rendered that to the occupation. They've rendered that to the idea of pursuing money. They've rendered that to the idea of being able to accumulate wealth by any means necessary. They have given themselves over to the idea of being able to get and fill their coffers with. Mm. They have done this. They have yielded. They have given up on the idea that God has called me to. And you could see it in the pulpit. You could see it in politics. You could see it in every aspect of our society that people have given up on faith. They have given up on God. They have given up on the same God that caused their grandparents to have their oldest uncle and father and so forth and so on. And now through education, you know more than your mother then. You're smarter than your mother then. Through education, through exposure, through commercialism, through all these particular things that you're seeing come out of America and other spaces in the world, you believe you know more than your mother. Mommy, you stupid. You could have 7 children for this man and he was cheating on you. I would never. Mm. God, I know women in this society who, when they were 16, this little girl tell me, she prayed to God that she could never have children. Mm. She prayed it over her life. Man, y'all didn't even hear me. Right. She prayed over her own life. Now she's 32. She won't get married and have children. And she cannot conceive. We don't eat articulation when we charge the atmosphere with things, how these things stick. The entire world with form with words. And you say it so casually. You just say these things so casually and nonchalant and think it's nothing to it. And you don't realize that you're sealing your fate in your words because you say it. And you say it after a point where you should have maturity, but you're too fooled to know. And still you open your mouth.
Well, Howard, I know this subject is very dear to you. I just was wondering why you didn't pay any attention to it, but I understand why now. This is something that Howard can speak on personally, and he's very passionate about it. And so, Howard Grant, we're thankful for you being a role model to those people as a family man, wife and children, and doing all that you could to continue to bring them forth into a productive contribution to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So thank you again, sir.
This is a hard question. I tell you I didn't want to talk about this.
Yeah, that's why.
You pulled me into this.
Yeah, I let you off. Because see, I didn't want to.
You can't pull back now, sir.
Yeah, but see what happened, Howard.
It's too late.
What happened,
you need to take a plan B after this conversation.
Howard, you know.
Because you already did impregnate
me. You want me to tell you why?
With conviction.
You want me to tell you why I ran there quickly? Let me just be transparent with you. I read the paper coming in here. And I looked at this whole article on FNM considering where they had the chairman and the CEO of the company. Then they got him as a possible candidate in Long Island. And then he confirms that he ain't going nowhere. He's committed to the people of Elizabeth. And this was written by Travis Cartwright Carroll, okay, on the front page of the paper. Howard Grant, I didn't want them to believe that we spend our entire time here trying to figure how we can beat the FNM. I just want y'all to understand that we are like you. We are aware of whatever contributions are put in the newspaper. We see Braves attacking you. We see you are responding to Philip Brave Davis, the Honorable
Prime Minister. You mean you as in Michael Pintard?
Yeah, well, I don't want you to feel we always got this stick waiting to just, you know. You know, it's getting kind of, like you say something, Howard, it's getting a little old. Hey, we waiting for you to do what you got to do. You ain't do it yet. So when you decide you want to do it, then go ahead and do it. We can be waiting for you to do what you got to do. Until then, me and Howard, we can talk for some other things. What could probably build society. Because the foundation I do respect as a talk show that invites a conversation about how we can fix some of the cracks in the foundation. I don't know if you got to break down the entire foundation, Howard. But I know that I appreciate you. I appreciate your program. I appreciate Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for what you do. And Howard Grant, I just want to encourage you today. That's how I feel today, to encourage you to continue to do what you do. You build family, you build foundation, you build country.
I hope so.
And I just wanted to say thank you. That's just my way of saying thank you.
No, no, no. I hope that is, because I could sit here, take a check, and then you'll never know. I could sit here, take a check, and I'm articulate and insightful enough and provide, I have enough access to information that I could sit here and speak on behalf of the Free National Movement or sit here and speak on behalf of the PLP mm-hmm. and convince people that this is the way. Because we're hearing it now in media.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing it now that, mm-hmm. that we should render no consideration for whether or not there's longevity for this particular project in West Grand Bahama, in East Grand Bahama, and the idea of what should happen to these particular, these are coming to war. To war for Oban. The same people who would like to rake the former prime minister over the coal and pause him there for a little while and then continue on raking him.
Mm-hmm.
They like to take him to war for Oban. But when I say, well, let's give this consideration, whether or not there is a sense of consistency. Y'all seem to be ungrateful.
You're
ungrateful.
Yeah, I guess.
There's great things happening. Can't y'all just be happy? No.
So what do they really expect from you? Let's talk just, I mean, we're closing the show.
Me? It ain't just me. They can't have no expectations from me. There is an expectation that I would use my voice, my language, my platform to be able to encourage everyone, like what the government has done in terms of commandeering all those persons in media to perpetuate an idea that what the PLP done is good. That's what you want me to do. You would like me to fall in line with what's happening everywhere else around here.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that cannot be.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying to you, and take this for what it is, optimistic. Cautiously optimistic. I am convinced mm-hmm. that if we didn't push back
mm-hmm.
for the $183 million that came down in December of last year that was on the budget to able to identify the project that was going to be in West Grand Bahama, if I didn't dissect that and say, this don't make no sense, Jesus. This don't make no sense, Lord.
We'd have been stuck with that.
It ain't only me. It is the resolution looking at from a, you know what I thought? I said $183 million and my mommy and my daddy, my uncles and whoever else home have to stand up on the side of the road every day and watch development and don't have an opportunity to be able to grow themselves. They can't feed nobody. They can't provide nothing. They ain't get no little contract to do nothing else. The $183 million was his administrative error.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't push back socially on that, this would be the project that they put forward and not the 800.
And who appreciates that from you?
I don't know whether or not anybody appreciates it.
But you do it because?
This just is conviction.
It's conviction.
It's conviction. I believe that as a Grand Bahamian, and I don't know whether or not I'm here for such a time as this, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
as a Grand Bahamian, I can be able to identify these things and say that we've seen this before.
Mm.
We've seen this before, we've seen this before, we've seen these particular things before, and we have a responsibility now to be able
to remind them.
To remind you and mm-hmm. say that an administration who's just got, well, this is a new day administration. No, 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 how it could be a new day? It's the same man who was in a strategic position as the Minister of Works. He was in a strategic position as the Minister of Works at the time.
I think we're going to go into this election season with a very sober mind, with an open mind, but like Howard said, we're prepared to remind you as to the pitfalls of the past. So that we don't,
you're going to fight me and you ain't going to like me, mm-hmm. but we're going to have an honest conversation and I invite every one of them to come here and speak with me. I never speak with you with condescension and disdain. I will speak to you with the professionalism required by the office and the seat that you sit in. But I will ask you the real questions, the questions that every one of us need to know the answer to. How the hell you going to do this?
I like it. I like it. I like it, Howard.
Quick break, guys. Gonna be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
What's up?
Alive Fiber NBA fans, mark your calendars. Saturday, May 24th at Flamingo Gardens Park. Join us for an adrenaline-pumping three-point shootout and dunk contest. Enjoy your favorite food vendors, drinks, awesome prizes, and fun for everyone. Plus, we'll be announcing the winners of Alive.
Woo! It's showtime!
Don't miss out. See you there. Visit Alive social media pages for more information.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get your call on the line. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
How you doing, bro?
Hey, this is Comedian Hill. Hey, God, I was going to let you get away with this, but Howard tried to tell you who all up again today, so I said, let me just bring this back to you. You know, Fred told you the other day that the Bahamian women are not having babies, so therefore, we have, when I bring up the AI the other day, you say you're going to have these babies with the robots. But that day, Howard was telling you, hold on, but here's the deal. If you have these babies with these robots, we can't, like Fred said, we can't replenish our future generation. So I just need you to know, you got to, like Howard tells you, you need to hold back on that guy.
The robot ain't going to talk back to you, man. The robot can do everything what you tell him to do.
All right, you good.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for your telephone call. Next telephone call, caller, go ahead.
All right, good day, Mr.
What's up?
Bradley Kemp.
And to Mr. Roseboro.
Vice Chair.
And Mr. Grant, I love that last speech you did on the power of the tongue and how people speak damnation and stuff over themselves and their nations and stuff. That you was right on point. You were deep in the spirit as you spoke that. You know, and that is one of the things that I am trying to get Bahamians to understand, that mostly we're in the position we're in because of the portals we open when we speak this negative stuff over our nation and over the people in our country, you know. So I want to encourage you to keep up the good work with speaking like that. That is the type of stuff.
Mr. Kemp, what's your number is? Let me call you after.
I got it.
I can call you after the show. God got your number?
Yes, sir.
I can call you.
All right, sir.
Okay, my brother. We can talk. Yeah, guys, I appreciate this opportunity. Guys, I can be honest with you.
We're not here to beat down people, you know. We're here to lift them up. And I think they get the wrong idea, Howard. That's what I'm saying.
No. I appreciate the opportunity that you give me to be able to speak in this space.
Yeah.
I got to be able to say that to you. And I got to let you know that I don't speak with condescension or this kind of this belittling of anyone who was born. Because I was right there with you, man. I'm just going to say this to you. I only give God praise that I hear. I was right there with you. My mother was a young mother, and she had to make a decision. My father, he was encouraged. Can I say that? Can I use that? He was encouraged to make the right choice. He had significant encouragement. Yeah, my father, he had significant encouragement to make the right choice. And he did make that. My mother and father has been married now. I'm 43 years old. They've been married for 43 years. I was at the wedding. In her belly.
You have a wonderful mother, Howard. I never met your father, but she is a wonderful lady. I like her.
I was right there with her.
I like your mother. She's a wonderful
You understand
lady.
Me?
Yeah.
So I don't think myself better than anyone. I don't think myself better than anyone. I've grown to understand and matured in my faith to know that those things that I've been predisposed to or exposed to over the years has been set for me, good, bad, and indifferent, mm-hmm. for me to develop that kind of that skin, that tough skin, to carry me through the challenges that God has called me to. Yeah. If I hadn't gone through loss, I wouldn't know how to navigate certain things. If I hadn't gone through pain, trial, and tribulation, I wouldn't know how to navigate these things. And I couldn't be the man that I am and that I'm becoming every day.
So when do you open up the grant arm of your Help Howard for premarital counseling? So
counseling, I know, Pastor.
So all this counsel you got, all this wisdom you got.
Well, you can get it here
what makes
for
you pastor?
Free.
A title don't make you a pastor.
I am not sitting down telling nobody what to do with their life
but
and how to do these things. I get you hell
they
too.
They need this counseling so that they can make some more babies,
Jesus.
According to you.
They just got to have conviction to know that God can take care of them. And if you ain't got that kind of conviction, then don't do it.
We need examples, Howard, of people who have done this.
There
thing
are
doing
many
it right.
examples in this society.
Well, we got to find them.
Many examples
but
in
you
this
need
society.
To point people in the right direction then.
Many examples in this society.
Because people are doing the do, but they ain't making no journey, Howard.
But I don't know. I ain't in that.
Which means you ain't in that?
Let me take a telephone call before we get out of here. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hey, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my friend.
Could we not forget, while they was negotiating the hotel deal in Grand Bahama, what about the fire trucks and the ambulance? Those guys could have told that in. $183 million.
I see. I can tell you one thing. I can be honest with you. Whenever I do proposals, I have to give a demo. And I appreciate your telephone call. We got 3 minutes to get out of here. Whenever I do a proposal, whether it's the government or whatever the case may be, and I say, I can do this. I have to literally create this because I deal with hardware and software, right? So I have to create the software. Me and my guys have to sit down, how this can work. He has to duplicate it free of charge. I haven't gotten a dime for this yet. I have to go off. I have to order the actual hardware, whatever the device is we say we could be able to utilize this on. We have to put the software on it. We have to fix it up. I have to create a proposal. I have to go to the government of the Bahamas or whoever I go into, and I say, this is how this has worked. They have to see, feel, touch it, walk it around the room like a baby at a christening. You know when a woman is out of the christening? Mm-hmm. How they say, that's what this whole thing is about.
And a baby, okay, right? You say, what a baby.
Ooh.
You say, what a pretty baby. Right. So, what a baby.
No, I'm talking about the gifts. When you get a gift, say, right? Yeah. So I got to send my proposal around and let everybody see, feel, touch the proposal before they go. $827 million. $1 million. And these people ain't had to give one demo yet.
I know something.
They didn't bring nothing to the table yet. They didn't say, as a gift of being able to do this, we wanted to be able to bring with us 10 fire trucks with us. Because, you know, that ain't nothing to talk about because we have a whole $827 million. Nothing.
I bet you.
Nothing. They come to the party with their hands swinging, their necktie on, and they left the briefcase in the hotel. And we here watching it, and the people of Grand Bahama ecstatic about these things, and the people ain't bring one thing. We don't know if they get they give the government $120 million yet. We don't know what's happening with this. And the people come with their hands swinging, and you want me to be out here ecstatic. See, every heads of agreement, and we ain't read this one, but every heads of agreement, every letter of understanding, every major project in this country has a division of social outreach, an obligation for your corporate entity to ensure that they give back. This thing was baked into the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. This is baked into every agreement when you have major entities come into your country. They have to have an arm where they give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need an arm of philanthropy. These people come here and ain't bring nothing. But you want us to believe you. Every dime that was spent was only through marketing. But you want us to believe you. That the caterpillar, what they used to yuck the thing down was brand new. Brand new, then the first time it ever used. Brand new. And we're looking at this and saying, what about the tangibles? But a little old me. I got to prove to the government that I could do this before you even give me a consideration for a $20,000 contract. This is bananas. Bananas. The devil is a liar.
I tried to keep it down, Howard, but boy, you're trying to rise up again. You're all excited again. Folks, it's been a pleasure to be here with you. And Howard Grant, we listen forward to you tomorrow on your program, The Foundation. Thank
guys,
you.
I want to thank you so very kindly. I think I'm going to bring somebody in the studio with me, a young lady who asked me to come sit with me and see if I can get her on tomorrow, and maybe one other person to have a good conversation with y'all. This is The Foundation. I want to thank you so much for being able to listen in today. Please, 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 please. Let's have a very clear understanding of what our objectives and responsibility is for growth and development, to move in the direction that we were called to by purpose. Not by our emotions, not by feelings, not by our fleeting desires, but by the purpose that we've been called to fulfill in the time that we were sent. It's The Foundation, guys. Going to see you tomorrow. Godspeed right here. 96.
Foundation. Foundation.